Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Pete, bit of news that will get you very excited.
Ooh. Go on then.
Was in TalkSport on Friday. And Geezer comes over, says, "I've got something for you." I said, "All right, great." It's normally not good news.
No.
And he pulls out of his...
Cough in your face.
Guess what? Guess what he pulled out of his bag for me?
Oh, I don't know. A big, long cucumber.
A 10-metre Ethernet cable.
Oh, hello. 10 metres of fun.
I thought of you straight away. Job. He said to me, "That's high speed. That's high speed, by the way." I said, "Fucking get in there."
Yeah, Cat 6, baby.
Think
lovely
so.
Old job.
Oh, I don't know what that means, but I think it's right.
Have you indulged?
I haven't. It's sitting there looking at me in a lovely coiled pile.
Like a coiled spring.
I will run it from the router later today as a little treat, probably post-lunch.
Beautiful. Well, remember to turn off your Wi-Fi because it automatically defaults to Wi-Fi. Test it out that way.
Okay, thanks for the tip. Making a note of that right now. All right, let's get cracking.
All right, then. It's the Luke and Pete Show. My name is Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Mr. Luke Moore. Are you there, Luke Moore? Yes, you are. I've just been talking to you about Ethernet cables.
I am hearing you loud and clear, receiving you bright and breezy, Peter. I think lockdown is suiting you pretty well. You sound great.
Well, it's a Monday morning. We've kind of recorded the football ramble, so I'm kind of into the game. I've had my rice cake. I've been eating a lot of rice cakes in lockdown, Luke. So I'm going to obviously emerge from my Soho-based chrysalis, a beautiful skinny butterfly.
Yeah, what people don't realise when there'll be people listening to this, Pete, thinking, "Oh, he just has one rice cake." What people don't realise is that rice cake is 6 foot in diameter and 14 inches thick,
and covered in lard.
It's like the pancake that Uncle Buck makes for the kids on their birthday.
What an obscure reference, even for a popular film.
Do you remember that? I'll tell you what.
Not really,
I'll tell you what. It's going to get to the point we're about a week and a half, 2 weeks away from me just watching every John Candy film. But if you don't remember that scene, the kids come down. One of the kids, played by the excellent Macaulay Culkin, come down the stairs. It's one of their birthdays. And Uncle Buck is he's essentially making giant pancakes using a big snow shovel to flip them.
Right, I like that.
It's got one of the best lines in the movie where Macaulay Culkin and his sister just go, "Wow!" And he looks over at them and says, "You should see the toast. I couldn't get it through the door." It's great.
There are very few people in life, I can genuinely sort of list them. There's probably 50 people in the whole world who are as casually magnetic as John Candy. I was listening to...
I thought you were going to say me then.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid neither of us are in that bracket. But
no.
I just sort of think, listening to Ellis James on Greatest Games on the Football Ramble Saturday sort of thread, I listened to a lot of his output with John Robbins over on Five Live Now and latterly X, and I kind of came to the show quite late. Good old show. But there are some people who are so relaxed and effortlessly magnetic. I would probably put him in that particular bracket. And I was thinking, imagine being that person that people just find your very presence reassuring, relaxing, and in John Candy's case, and certainly Alice Joseph's case, they're very funny people as well. I would love to have that kind of effortless, because I'm, you know, I try and be funny all the time, and I can't do it, and I'm manic about it, and it comes off as extreme nervousness, and people can't relax around me, I would say. Mm.
Yeah, I feel the same, because I think people feel with me that I'm going to either take the piss out of them or be mean or loud or overbearing or whatever. I understand what you mean. But the thing is, there's someone out there for everyone, Pete. So, I mean, what I would say is, going back to the Uncle Buck thing, and I like Ellis James, but he's done very well there to be mentioned in the same breath as John Candy. anyway, speaking of Uncle Buck, obviously it was written and directed by the great John Hughes, who's no longer still with us, died like about 10 years ago. But if you look at some of look at the list of films that John Hughes was involved in, either as a writer or a director or both or exec producer, whatever, it is absolutely astonishing. Like, I think he's particularly underrated, because I'll give you a few. I'll give you a few now. The Breakfast Club, Weird Science, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Planes, Trains and Automobiles, Uncle Buck, Home Alone. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable the stuff he's been in. I think he was involved in Beethoven as well, which is...
Baby's Big Adventure.
I haven't seen that. Is that good? Probably not. No. He's probably done some shockers, but the point is, he's done some amazing movies, and I don't know if he gets enough credit, to be honest.
Well, he's certainly a filmmaker from our generation, I think. He kind of, we probably think of him very, very fondly, because obviously all of the films around about that time was made by him, pretty much, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he
kind of owns our whole thing.
But it's quite interesting as well, because, like, if you look at the movies that he makes and the ones that are most famous, I would say, like, I mean, they're not exactly, in terms of the plot themselves, it's not like an astonishingly interesting kind of premise. I mean, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Uncle Buck, Home Alone, The Breakfast Club is a classic example, because it's essentially about a kid's Saturday detention or whatever. But within those plots and within those movies, he tells these amazing kind of truths about everyday life in a really entertaining and very funny way. And given that he wrote a lot of those movies as well, if not all of them, genius, just a genius in my opinion. It's not new news. I've probably missed the boat massively. I'm sure there was a big John Hughes love in somewhere in the podcast world about 5 years ago that you and I didn't know about. But we're getting there now.
And then we'll start on John Waters.
Yeah.
Who I also like.
He's got a little nice little moustache.
He's got a nice little moustache. How's your beard growth going in isolation, Luke? Obviously, your capacity for growing beard age is very much known. You've grown many beards in your time. I'm a newcomer to the whole endeavour.
No, I'm an overrated beard grower, to be honest. I mean, I can maintain a constant stubble, and I do that. I normally have it on grade 3 on the clippers, and I've always got a little bit of a beard going, because
there's something going on.
Frankly, there's a jowl involved otherwise. right. But when it comes to growing a full beard, it's not that great. It doesn't look that good. It's not as decent as some other people, but it's probably slightly better than yours. You are the second poorest beard grower that I work with in broadcasting. The other one is Craig Mitch, who I work with at Talk Sport, who has a frankly shocking combination of wispy beard and moustache, which he sticks with. I've told him not to bother, but he sticks with it.
I can do a moustache, but the problem is my there's big white hairs in my beard, in my sort of chin beard. So I could do a David Brent goatee, but
you are very strong around the chin and moustache area. But other than that, it's quite basic, isn't it?
Nothing else. Nothing. It's so weird. Nothing else. And also, it's not level on one side. It's completely bare on the dimple area, and on the other side, I've got full dimpleage. It's just so confusing and baffling. So my first beard will be grey. I'm hoping to sort of be able to grow one around about the age of 50.
It's a shame. And my brother-in-law, who's only 24 or 25, I've known him for about 5 years. And since I've known him, so probably late teens, he's been able to grow a magnificent, massive beard. He's got like a massive fisherman's beard at the moment.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's
my dad could do one. I just can't do it. It's weird.
Yeah, my old man can as well. Well, Pete, last time I spoke to you within the Luke and Pete show parameters was a week ago. So what have you been up to? What's been going on? How are you coping?
I have mainly, obviously, extended my YouTube viewing to some peripheral interests. I spent most of the week watching WrestleMania was on there this week. It's the first one I think they've ever done behind closed doors.
Yeah.
It is the first one they've ever done behind closed doors, because it was obviously very interesting. A lot of pre-recorded Undertaker versus AJ Styles kind of on-location shoots in the Boneyard, the graveyard. But also there were some at the development centre behind closed doors with no audience kind of matches. And the first one was the women's title, tag team title, I think. And so there's one of these Japanese wrestlers who screams mainly in Japanese. And I find her fascinating because she's got a YouTube channel where she just goes into her backyard and just cooks food, plays with slime, goes to the shops. But she just... And it's terribly filmed. She mosaics everything, so you can't tell where she's living. But it seems that she lives on some kind of Iraqi, American marine compound. Such an unattractive neighborhood. And so basically this week, I watched a lot of her videos and a lot of a man who restores guitars. There's an old bloke in America somewhere, and he is a wonderful watch. He basically takes these really interesting guitars, restores them. I watched one yesterday where he installed some carbon fiber rods in an old pre-Telecaster, Stratocaster era Fender product. Nice. I also watched one last night that was somebody had made a very unique and patented it, a very unique clay-fired guitar. The entirety of the guitar was made of clay. Hollow body, obviously, but it was... but it had electricals in it. So can you imagine how hard it is to get electricals to kind of stay in the right position on
how do they even
clear
do that?
Guitar? There's a very specific kind of firing that allows you, it's a medium to low heat firing that allows the clay to be a lot stronger. He chose the right materials. He did a lovely bit of work on it, but all the way through this program, he takes it to an educational establishment to find out more about the pottery aspect of it. He manages to fix everything that needs to be fixed. He gets an expert in to date all of the pickups and the parts and the wiring and find out when it was made. They locate the person who made it, who just died a couple of years ago. And all the way through this bloody video, I'm thinking, if he fucking drops that, I'm going to be furious with him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
Nervous.
Because he's an expert. And he fixes it. And it's got a lovely, weird sound because it's made of clay. It's incredible. I love it.
Yeah, that's nice. You can share me the link and I'll put it on the Twitter because you don't even know the password. Have you been indulging in any taking apart of things around your house and putting them back together again? I think a lot of people, myself included, would have predicted that you would be doing that kind of thing over recent weeks.
To be honest, I've still got projects that I had left over from pre-isolation, so I've not really gone to those lengths quite yet. I don't know about you, Luke, but I don't feel like I've been any less busy than I usually am.
No,
because
I've been
kind
busier.
Of do all of the stuff. Yeah, you've been busy. You've been doing a lot of interviews, bit of talk sport as well. Like, I don't feel any less busy. I'm certainly, my sleeping patterns have shifted a little bit more like they were when I was at Absolute Radio. I did spend 2 hours yesterday trying to find an interview when I interviewed John Cena at Mark Haynes from WrestleMania.
Oh, I heard about this, yeah.
Was furious there.
It's such
I
a Donaldson story, this. You've wrestled me for 2 years and you never told him you interviewed one of the biggest wrestlers of all time. You're a complete idiot.
But I went back
very upset.
He was very upset. I don't know why I didn't tell Mark that I'd interviewed John Cena. And it is to the universal discredit, the new system by the government, the universal discredit of me, but also Absolute Radio, that they never put any of the video that they filmed online, on Twitter, on Facebook. I can find no reference to John Cena ever being in that building apart from a Getty Images paparazzi man who uploaded a picture of him leaving the building. That's the only reference I've got. So I'm currently like some kind of computer hacker trying to figure out how I can find this footage of me interviewing John Cena and Leslie Mann for the long forgotten, although it only came out 2 years ago, film Blockers. a coming of age drama in which John Cena puts a beer bong up his arse and drink. I think someone drinks the beer out of it. His arse. I think that's the thing.
Isn't John Cena in another movie with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler? I think he's got a cameo in. I can't remember what it's called, but it's quite funny. But he's in that as well.
Is it Amy Poehler? He's certainly. Yeah, was that the one? Yes, I think they're having a good. Who's that?
One of the sisters is a nightmare, and the other one's really sensible, and they have a big house party to try and recapture their youth. And John Cena, I think he might be the player drug dealer in it.
That's the one. Yes. I'm not seeing the film, but
because you are also very physically
intimidated
powerful.
By my physique. Yeah.
How is your physique going? Because you sometimes do. You sometimes pop out from nowhere and you're quite ripped, but that hasn't happened for a little while now.
That's a little bit rude, but
whereas I'm always just solid. I'm always just fleshy.
I've always just left because I've been in lockdown. I feel like I've lost a bit of weight simply because I'm not drinking quite as much alcohol. Though I did slam a bottle of champagne on Saturday by myself. That was unbecoming of a man alone in his house.
Tell us more about that. Was it a particularly nice bottle of champagne?
It was, yeah. It was. I googled it afterwards. It was a gift, and I drank it, and it just didn't need to be drunk. I was like, I'll have that, and I put a spoon in it. I thought, yeah, that spoon's not going to be silver, is it? It's just going to be stainless steel. Is that really going to help the
fizz?
You know, the fizz. Is that going to help the wine going off? So I thought, I'll just slam the rest of it. Very drinkable. It's only 99 units in a bottle of champagne. Who knew?
Did you feel drunk afterwards?
I felt lightheaded, let's say.
Did you go to bed?
I played some very unique games of Pro Evolution Soccer on my PC.
I got back from my radio show Friday night quite late and sat down in the living room. Mimi was already asleep and just cracked open, mate, a lovely can of Estrella. Just enjoyed a nice ice cold can of lager, and then I went to bed.
Oh, that's nice.
That's what life is now.
That is what life is. All right, though, isn't it? I mean, it's not, you know, it's not binge drinking. Because the problem is I'm a binge drinker, so I've drank so little this holiday. Holiday? This lockdown.
How many times do the police ever tell people like you, it's not a holiday?
The amount of sunbathers in the churchyard behind my house yesterday was disgraceful.
Yeah, I was looking at people on the internet, people in the park doing what they're doing, and I was thinking, I don't even know that many people. How are they even doing that?
It did sort of return some kind of normalcy to my life because there was a woman in the park, in the churchyard, just screaming, motherfucker. And I was like, that's the Soho I remember. It's been so quiet the last few weeks.
Yeah. Did you get a little bit nostalgic for it?
A little bit, yeah, because I've been sleeping so well and sleeping so heavily because of the lack of just screaming people. It was just quite nice.
I've been lobbying for quite some years for you to have some earplugs, and you still won't do it.
I've got earplugs up the wazoo. I've got a specific brand that I like that I have. It's the kind of like mittens. They've got a string between them, so if you lose one,
like a session drummer.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So yeah, they're my brand.
Very
I can't
nice.
What company makes? And probably 3M. They make everything.
Yeah, they do. So surreptitiously or publicly, wasn't Trump having a pop at them the other day? I think he was.
I don't know.
He was.
Were they indicted in the what was that film about?
What have we talked about? What do we talk about, Pete? On this show, what have we talked about when it comes to you and speculative indictments? Stop it. It is the enemy of libel lawyers everywhere.
They were involved in the non-stick pan coating lawsuit. I think that was their...
Teflon.
One of their subsidiaries. Yes, I wasn't going to mention them, but I think they were involved in that company in some small way. Back in the day, baby.
I remember when... I remember there was a kind of crushing realisation about 15 years ago when I realised sort of quietly to myself... I had been referring to John Gotti, the former mafia boss, who was known as the Teflon Don throughout his career, because obviously nothing would stick. I realised that I had been referring to him publicly to people I know for years as the T-Fowl Don.
Well, so, they make great products too. White meat products. Well, look, you can get away with a lot, as I am testament to, because I can never remember anything.
Yeah, that's true. Should we have a little break? And then when we come back from the break, PD, we'll do some emails from our listeners and maybe even some tweets as well.
All right, then.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And we're back from the break. I hope you enjoyed that advert. If there were no adverts, well, I hope you enjoyed the absence of adverts.
I hope there was adverts. Forest, we're fucked otherwise.
We're fucked anyway.
Yeah, true.
Let's pile into some emails, Lukey Moore. Paul Staveley's got in touch. Hi, both. On a recent ramble, Luke mentioned the use of wanker in the Confessions of a Kid's Five-A-Side Manager blockbuster Playing for Keeps. Yeah. And now it has a different impact and is quite funny to Americans. It made me think of the time I got linguistically mugged off by the bloody Independent. I live and work, or at least I did before the current situation, in Shanghai. And when we moved there in 2016, it wasn't long before we made friends with a colleague from California. She's a university counsellor, and she was fascinated by the fact that a lot of us came from Yorkshire and used an unusual phrases she'd not heard before. So we decided to teach her a few. One thing she'd never heard before was the term bellend. And we tried to explain to her that it was something you would probably more likely use in a quite affectionate way, perhaps as an expression of exasperation rather than malice, like, oh, you bellend, rather than you bellend. It's not strong enough, is it? She wasn't convinced, as in the past, people had taken advantage of her good nature by teaching her innocent phrases or words that were not, as it turned out, quite so innocent. Eventually, we persuaded her that bellend really wasn't that massive a deal, although you still wouldn't use it in front of a team of nine-year-olds. Later, The Independent published a ranking of British swear words from most offensive to least. The top two slots were taken by the two you'd expect, with the C-bomb in at number one, followed by the F-word at number two, which is fair enough. A quick glance below, though, showed that sitting there in at number three was bellend.
I'm not having that.
I'm not having that in any way. I couldn't believe they had made such a culturally tone-deaf error, the silly cunts. She would not accept my protestations that Bellend had no business being that high at the list and still doesn't trust me to this day. Would love to know your thoughts. Lots of love. Stay safe. Paul from Leeds, South of China. Paul, if you can clip this part of the podcast. I cannot stress this enough, American colleague from California. Bellend is not even top 20.
No, I would throw further weight behind that and say that Bellend is a word that I would comfortably use in front of my parents and they wouldn't be upset about it.
Yeah, and you also think, I've heard people, there's not, I wouldn't, would you get away with it late nights on radio saying Bellend?
You'd
probably say, careful with the language, caller, rather than,
I can't believe you've done that.
Yeah, it would not need that much of an apology, I think it's fair to say.
Would you say Bellend in front of Stuart and Christine?
Yeah, definitely. I used the C word on a family WhatsApp recently.
I would never, ever.
Might have been you.
It probably was. I would never, ever say the C word in front of anyone in my family. Ever.
On... you reckon? No, really?
I wouldn't. I just wouldn't. No.
Oh well.
Yeah, you're more kind of rough around the edges than me.
Brusque.
Yeah.
I've met your family, remember? You've not met mine, so.
I've met your family. I've met them at Newcastle.
Oh, you have, haven't you? Met them at Newcastle. That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
God, I had to really sort of explain why it was important to support my life and come up and see me in Newcastle.
There was an amazing bit where you pulled them up onto the stage during the rehearsal and made them sit in mine and your seats while all the videos played, and they looked absolutely baffled.
Baffled and bored. Baffled and bored, the Stuart and Christine story. On radio, Ofcom rules state that the C word is not even the worst word. It's motherfucker. So.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think you might have told me that before. And what about this? Is an email from Sean who says, "Hi guys, listened since the first show, and I've never bothered to email you before, but I must say, since the lockdown status across the world, your show has absolutely blossomed. As you often say, this show is based on the input of the listeners, and what better time to get people's input when they're sat at home doing fuck all? Keep up the good work, fellas. Stay safe, Sean." Now, I detect a hint of sarcasm in that, and that's why I've included
a little bit,
it.
Yeah. That's all the email says. No, actually, any content in there? No, no content, just that. No. I would never usually email, but now I'm emailing because I've got nothing else to do.
Yeah, and so Sean is not even attempting to improve the output. He's just observing the shit, what he perceives to be the shitness of the output, and commenting on it.
Yeah, fair dues. Thank you for your... whatever the hell that was.
That was, yeah. I've got another email here from Alex, and you regular listeners, and hopefully you, Pete, may remember Alex. He is the man who received a tarantula in error due to a translation problem.
Right. I'm not really au fait with that one. I must admit, my memory isn't what it was.
I think I'm right in saying, and it may well even be revealed in the email, I can't actually remember until I read it, they're both in China, and his friend tried to send him a bag of like fake tarantulas or something like that, but got the translation of the product wrong because I guess it was in Mandarin, and ended up sending him a real tarantula, which he then had to keep to be a pet for the class that he was teaching.
Right, okay.
So he says, "Hi guys, I thought I'd drop you a line and give you a little update on Little John the tarantula." So it's an update, Pete, so you should just at least pretend you remember.
Okay.
Because listen to this, right? From Alex. Listen to this. "It molted its exoskeleton for the first time today."
Oh, cool. Eat it.
And he attached a picture of it.
Like soft shell crab.
In the end, the kids in my class here in Zhuangzhou wanted to keep the little guy in our classroom, so I upgraded this tank and he settled in nicely. I will be able to. Oh, he said it might be a girl. I'll be able to check the sex of tarantula by looking closely at the recently molted exoskeleton, which I plan to do. "It's a shame we're still not back to school yet, as it would have been an amazing thing for the kids to see firsthand. Nevertheless, I was able to show them all pictures of John the Tarantula on our live lessons via a video call, and they were all thrilled. I hope everyone in the UK is staying safe and not panicking too much. We're on about 8 weeks of social distancing and closures here in China, but aspects of normality are coming back. Remember to think of those, think of yourself and those around you. Wash your hands regularly, stay home when you can, and crack open those TV box sets. As the Chinese say, to give support, Zha Yoi, Zha Yo, which apparently means add oil in English. With love from Alex, year three, and Little John the Tarantula. I will try and remember to share the pictures of the official tarantula of the Luke and Pete Show's exoskeleton on our social media at Luke and Pete Show.
Yeah, I mean, he is very much providing great advice. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, etc. While at the same time, looking like he's very much venturing down the path of starting some kind of exotic pet festival, which did start this crisis. Let's be very clear on that one. So,
He says in the PS to the email. Pete, he says in the email, PS, I'm now off to the wet market.
Right, okay, cool. Ed Carver has got in touch. Ed Carver. Hi, guys, big fan of the show. In light of the lockdown, I've come across Tony Blackburn's YouTube channel. It's a brilliantly Partridgian mix of ridiculous fitness guides and ways to pass the time in lockdown. This is my latest favourite vid, but honestly, they are crackers. Basically, this is a video of Tony Blackburn who...
Can you explain to our international listeners who he is?
Would you say he is like a Mr. He's like a lovely older gentleman who's very cheesy, but no one seems to mind.
He didn't get you treated either. Cheeseball. Important to state.
Didn't get you treated. He used to do a lot of jokes of that at public functions. Still didn't get. I haven't been you treated. Making light of a very serious matter. He's a bit of a comfortable older presence in the media landscape. And Peter used to be like a kind of young.
He's a cheesy radio DJ from the '70s.
Yeah, yeah. Who used to be cool on the pirate.
Did he used to be cool though?
I think everyone on like Radio Caroline and the ones on the boats and stuff were pretty cool, weren't they?
I think he's kind of cool to people who think Cliff Richard was cool, right?
Yeah, I'd take that. He's definitely in the same pot as Cliff Richard, bless him. Okay. But on lockdown, he's in his big back garden and he's just brought a chair outside and he's just doing basically, like he's doing burpees, but instead of, but just sitting down. And he said, I'll probably get through about 250 of these every day.
The camera just starts and he's going 249, 250.
Yeah, he only does three in the video, but very, very enjoyable. Worth a checking out, Mr. Tony Blackburn. I'm trying to think of an American parallel, but I just can't.
Pete,
think of one right now.
I think you secretly don't like Tony Blackburn. And do you want me to tell you why?
Why?
Because Tony has been on his whole career old fashioned radio money.
Yes, he will never have.
Hence the big back garden.
He will not have dipped below any kind of... He'll have one of those old school agents as well. He'll, oh, darling, you have to pay Tony £1,000 a show. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
If you want his gravitas.
What's he doing now, Tony? Is he on the radio still?
He was. He used to do a show in the same building as Absolute, the one that John Cena was spotted leaving back in the day in 2018. Around about that time, there used to be a security... camera system in every studio. I mean, just for legal purposes, you'd imagine, doing what the radio DJs used to get up to. But I used to go up to the security, to go up to the engineering floor and just watch all the camera feeds and watch Tony Blackburn.
Hang on,
broadcasting. What?
Hang on, you're gonna have to repeat that.
There's a camera in every studio that got installed. For whatever reason. I think it's mainly when people tip coffee all over the desk and they pretend it wasn't them.
Pete, isn't this just a plot of the 1993 erotic thriller film Sliver?
Yes,
with
it very
Sharon
much
Stone.
Is.
You're the two very much the William Baldwin character or the Tom Berenger character.
Exactly. I'm the one watching everything that's going on in the hotel. Why did they have cameras in the hotel? I can't remember now.
Because of a pervert.
Was it UB40 did the theme tune for it, I think. Licensed song. Yeah, I think so.
I was reading that Howard Shaw did the music for it.
Well, they did like the tie-in song, like, you know, title song. They used to see that a lot more in the 80s and the 90s. You'd have a movie and then you'd have, you know, Ennio Morricone doing a song.
Right. Oh, no, it is apparently. Yeah, apparently the music from the motion picture from the 1993 film Sliver. Listen
I
to
can't
the band.
Help falling in love?
Yeah, but it also had Unfinished Sympathy by Massive Attack on it. Oh, Carolina
nice.
By Shaggy.
Oh, jump across to my video booth.
Yeah, a bit of.
More incongruous.
Bit of Verve on there as well. So it's a mixed bag.
Yeah,
a mixed bag.
Lovely, anyway,
carry on. Let's cut back to the flashback of you sat in an engineering office, perving on everyone on the cameras.
No, I was perving specifically on Tony Blackburn, because when else are you ever going to watch Tony Blackburn do his thing when he's just not on air being filmed?
And what was he doing? So, was it like Mid-Morning Matters?
He was just on his iPad for ages.
Was he?
Tony Blackburn's iPad, that's the title.
Was it any danger of a hot orange?
No. That hot orange story. I believe less and less every time I think about it. But
no, I have to believe it. I've got nothing else if I don't believe that. It has to be done. All right, Pete. Let's wrap it up there. What we'll do on Thursday, I've got a few tweets from people. I want to read those out, and I've got a couple other emails as well. There's an email we've got about a listener who almost died from a ruptured spleen, and I don't know why I'm asking you this, but I would anyway. Can you remember if we've done that one or not? Because normally I'm very diligent on the emails we've done, the ones we haven't, but I cannot remember this one.
It rings a bell, but I may just have read it, so just read it anyway. See how we go.
We'll give fair warning to people who are going to complain about it. We're going to read that one on Thursday. If we've done it before, just think of it as bonus content. It's all free anyway, so don't worry about it. And you've got nothing else to do.
It's nice to have another look, a second opinion, if you will.
If you like it, why not revisit it again? Like a water park. All right, cool. We're back on Thursday. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks very much for supporting us through this as well. Do spread the word. This is the perfect lockdown podcast because we never leave the bloody house anyway, so it doesn't make any difference to us.
No.
We'll see you on Thursday. Stay safe, wash your hands, and we'll be back in touch soon.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.